Okay, so we'll see. But I would ask if you can grab a pencil and paper, because what we're going to talk about this morning, I'm actually going to give you an acronym for Selah, and you can write down what each one of the words, what each one of the letters signifies, and then you can just go back and review it later. And I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you a lot more, than he's given me on this, because he knows each one of us individually. He knows each one of us individually. So we're gonna get jump right in and
The credit gave parents up to $300 a month for each child. Those payments expire.
okay, somebody needs to go on mute. Okay, so Selah, Selah, which you see many times, most of the time, you see it in the Psalms. And it's a word that means to pause or to stop what you're doing and to think about either what's just been said, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, but just to take a pause. And I thought it very interesting that when the leadership team where I am got together, and evidently every year they, well, a lot of people do, every year they look for a theme for that year. And they decided that the theme for this year was going to be Selah, to pause, to stop, and to think about what God is doing, what God has done, just to pause. And as soon as they said it, I believe that the Lord said, that's what I want you to talk about, the first flagship. And I began to ask, okay, how do you want me to unpack it? Okay. And so that's what we're going to get into this morning. Selah. So the S, first letter, stand still. Stand still. I thought that was two words. And when I looked in the dictionary, actually, it was one word. They put it all together. Stand still. And the scripture that I want you to note for that, well, really two. The first one is Psalm 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the heathen." That's one translation. I will be exalted in the earth. To stand still. And most of you know, especially in the Western culture, we are so busy. We can fill our calendars up. We can fill our schedules up with all kind of stuff. And most of the church recognize that even with the pandemic coming in, most of them believe that it was God putting us on pause. Now, a lot of negative stuff came with the lockdown, the lock-in, all of that, and we cannot deny that. But on the other hand, we also cannot deny it forced many of us to stay in, to stay home, and hopefully to think about which way our lives were going. But be still and know, be still and know. There's something about stillness. There's something about getting quiet in the presence of the Lord that opens your heart for the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you. There are so many of us that don't know how to be quiet. And I know so many people, and some may be on the line this morning, but they can't be in a house that's quiet. They're going to have a radio. They're going to have the television. I know too many people that play the television throughout the night because they cannot be quiet. And I have believed for years that I used to call it the conspiracy of noise. That because we surround ourselves with so much noise, that often we cannot hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. So be still and know. And excuse me. And then in Habakkuk 2:1, Habakkuk says to the Lord, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the rampart or on the wall." If you've seen any old time movies where they have the castles and you see the guards up on that wall walking around so they can see what's going on, that's the rampart. So Habakkuk is saying, I'm going to stand still. I'm going to stand on my watch and I'm going to get on the rampart and I'm going to see what the Lord is going to say to me. I'm going to watch. From the rampart, you could look out over and you could see a distance from that place. Most of the time, they were looking to see if any enemies, if the city was safe, all of that. We need to do that. There's too many times, I believe, that the enemy sneaks up on us because we're not watching. And the scripture says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but I tell you, I have seen too many times that the church has been totally ignorant of what the enemy is doing, and he ends up taking advantage of our ignorance. And we don't want that happening in 2022. Stand still and know that I am God. Stand up on your watch. Stand on the rampart and see what the Lord will say to you. So that's S, stand still. And then the next letter is E. And for our purposes, the E is going to stand for envision. E-N, vision. Envision. And it means to picture something in your mind. It means to think of or to picture something you believe could take place in the future. And, hold on, I want to read Corinthians, because initially, as I was looking for a scripture for this, okay, why am I being untech savvy this morning? No, I'm untech savvy a whole lot of mornings. But in 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse 11, so remember this is an envision, is what we're using the scripture for. And it says, well, let me just give a little background. This is where Paul is just recounting to them when Moses went up and he was in the presence of the Lord, and then when he would come down, his face would be glowing, and the, you know, the Israelites would be afraid to look at him because the glory of God was on his face. The glory of God was on him. So it says, and if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now notice what it says. It says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate, stop and think about. When we contemplate the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. When we stop and contemplate the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into his image. And it says, back up a little bit, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, or there is liberty. And I believe that the Lord gave me this scripture for envision, because for this year, he wants us to envision, to get a picture of ourselves carrying the glory of the Lord as never before, and to get a picture of ourselves walking in the freedom that was purchased for us at Calvary as never before. That we live as a free people, that we live totally unbound from, excuse me, okay, all right, I'm gonna keep talking. totally unbound from what the enemy would try to put on us to keep, to hold us back in any way, to envision ourselves as a free people, to envision ourselves being the vessels that carry God's glory, to envision ourselves as weapons of righteousness in the hands of the Lord. So, E is for envision. E is for envision. S is for stand still. E is for envision. And then we move to L. L is for learn. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, very familiar scripture where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Learn of me. Let me tell you, if there was ever a time for us to get in the Word, it is now. It is now. You, most of you know that I work with young people here where in Illinois I am, and there's a couple, not just here, but you know, probably all over, people who in this day and age is so visual, they just kind of say all the time, "Well, I don't like to read, I don't like to read, I don't like to read." I told one person, I said, I can give you a guarantee. If you don't get in the Word, read it, listen to it. If you don't get in the Word, you will never be a successful Christian. You will never be a successful follower of Christ. You can't do it apart from the Word. You cannot do it apart from the Word. We only have one offensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Jesus invites us to learn of Him, to get to know Him. That is a lifelong and probably somewhat into eternity pursuit, getting to know the Lord. Paul, with all Paul had gone through, with everything that he has suffered, we see him writing in Philippians, "That I may know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering," to know him, to learn of him. Learn, learn. And then in Psalm 32:8, the Lord gives a promise. He says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." What a promise from God. I will instruct you. Our obligation, he's promised to instruct, and he's going to keep his word. Our obligation is to learn, is to make ourselves available, to listen, take heed, to write down, to meditate on, to learn of him, to learn of him. He will instruct us. He's promised us that. He says, "I will teach you the way that you should go." I don't know about you, but oh my goodness, I need to lay claim to that promise every day. "I will teach you the way that you should go." Because there are so many times, if you were to track my life, you would see that I did not know where I was going or what I was doing. Hello, somebody. But God says, "I'll instruct you, I'll teach you the way that you should go." He says, "I will counsel you with my eye upon you." How often do we need counsel because we don't know what to do? You know, this may be a little off the track, but how many of us wish that our government and the CDC and all of those people could receive the counsel of the Lord? With this whole COVID, whatever, people are all over the place. The people who should know, who we think should know, or who think they know, or who think they know, they are all over place. Why? Because most of the time, people are leaning to their own understanding. And what does the scripture tell us as believers? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct. He says, I will show you the path. I will guide you. I will lead you. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That's such a great promise. So we have stand still, be still and know. Stand upon your watch. Stand upon the rampart and look to envision, to picture yourself as living in the freedom that was purchased for us at Calvary, to picture yourself being a carrier of God's glory, to picture yourself being the answer to many of the problems that are around you, that often God will give you the answer, he will give you the solution to that, to picture yourself, to view yourself differently, to view yourself in a way, the way that the word says God sees us. The Bible gives us a picture of how God sees us. And it also tells us in Romans 8:29 that those that God foreknew, King James, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So that's what we're supposed to look like. Does it mean we're going to be clones? Not in the way we do things, not in our various personalities and all of that, but in character. Yes, we are all going to look like Jesus. We're going to be loving. We're going to be compassionate. We're going to be patient and kind and everything that we know. We're going to walk in power. We're going to be like him. That's our destiny, to be conformed to the image of his son. That's our destiny. What a great destiny. Stand still, envision, learn of him. Learn of him. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher in the universe. And all you have to do is go to him and say, okay, even as I'm reading the word, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to open this word up to me. If you're one that you don't really like to read, it's a labor for you, pray. The Holy Spirit is a helper. Say, Holy Spirit, you know I don't like to read. I'm asking you to give me a desire to get into the word. Give me that desire. I don't have it. Please give me the desire to get in the word. And when I get in, please open up the word to me. Bring revelation to my heart. Bring insight. We can pray those. He's a helper. And he will help us. He will keep his word to us. Notice, you know, when Jesus left, he said, I'm sending you another comforter. I heard Benny Hinn say something the other day that was so good. He said, the Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. I said, that's a good thing for a sweatshirt, a hoodie or something. He said, because when Jesus was on the earth, he could only be in one place at one time. He was limited because he was in a human body. But when he said, I'm going to send you another comforter, unlimited. The Holy Spirit lives in all of us. He can be all over the world at the same time. He is, as a matter of fact. He can be speaking to all of us at the same time. I can say something, and the Holy Spirit will take the one thing that I say, and he will minister it to each one of you based on what you need. Based on what you need. He won't talk to you. He can take one scripture and talk to each one of us about something different in that scripture. It's a living word. So learn of him. Learn of him. You'll never regret the time that you spend getting to know the Lord. And then A is for abandon. And it's the noun abandon, not the verb. the noun abandoned, not the verb. It means a complete lack of restraint or inhibition. Complete lack of restraint or inhibition. It means to yield or to totally surrender, to abandon yourself to someone. And that's what we want in our relationship with the Lord. We want to be totally abandoned with him. We want to be totally unrestrained when it comes to our love for him, our worship of him, totally unrestrained. You know, it's like, I think of this when I think of when Jesus tells us to be childlike. You know, when you just let children loose, you turn them some music, and they will do all kind of crazy dance, and they don't care who sees them. They will just do stuff, you know? Childlikeness is such a good picture of being abandoned. Children can be so trusting. When you tell them something, unless you've broken your word to them before, when you tell them something, they believe you. They don't ask you a lot of questions. If you tell them we're going to do such and such a thing tomorrow, they get ready to do that tomorrow. They get ready. Joyce is on the line, and I don't think she might be saying this, but she was saying her little granddaughter came and said, it's Taco Tuesday. She said the first thing I wanted to know was, how did she even know it was Tuesday? But she remembered, when you tell children things, they trust you. And they remember. What about us? When God has shown himself to be so faithful to us in the past, he's provided for us. He's done so much for us. We come up against something and we act like he never did it before. And we get worried. We get flustered. We get all of that. No, we abandon ourselves to him. I wanted to use for this Romans. Let's see here. Romans 6. And I'm going to just read verses 8 through 13. Now, if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way. So we reference everything that was just said. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Then it says, in the same way. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the same way. In the same way that he died to sin once and that he's alive to God, you count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. In the same way. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Okay. It just hit me right when I read that a lot of times we think of evil desires as usually something real, really, really that we put dark, that we put on the dark end, okay? Sexual immorality, murder, drug addiction, all of that, okay? But no. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Evil desires can be slander. Evil desires can be gossip. Evil desires just fall into any area that does not represent God or his kingdom. Evil desires, okay? Do not let sin reign, have rule, have dominion in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. The evil desires, just not to live in line with what you know the Holy Spirit is saying to you. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about how bound they could be by fear, and how fear kept them from doing so many things that God, they knew God wanted them to do. And I was telling them, you know, I could identify the fear of man used to have me all bound up, you know. But we know that we should fear the Lord. But I never forget when I was reading in Revelation, and it's toward the end, one of those end chapters, that when it talks about those who will not inherit the kingdom of God, it named those who are fearful. So when we talk about don't let sin reign in our mortal body, being bound to fear is sinful. It is not godly. The fearful and unbelieving, the scripture says, will not inherit. Oh, no. You know, we have to inherit, people. We cannot be fearful and unbelieving. And the Holy Spirit will help you get rid of that demon. God has not given us a spirit of fear, the word says, but power, love, and a disciplined mind, a sound mind. In 2022, fear has to go. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Abandon. Be abandoned. Be unrestrained when it comes to offering yourself to God. No inhibition when it comes to offering yourself to God for his service. Sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. And then I thought about when it talked about being abandoned, being unrestrained in our worship, in our everything. You know, the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love with all, with everything within us. That's being abandoned to the Lord. Sometimes we sing, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. And sometimes I'm just like, ooh, we are probably lying. We are probably just not telling the truth. So, but it's like, Lord, we're pursuing. We are in pursuit. Because most of us would say we want to be there. We want to be in that place, you know, where God just whispers something that he desires, and we are after it, you know. We are after it. So stand still, envision, learn, be abandoned, and then the H is for hallow. Hallow his name. Hallow his name. Most of us are most familiar with that word from the disciples' prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. In Isaiah 8, 11 through 13, and this is the NIV, it says, this is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me. I thought this was very timely for the season that we are in. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Now listen to this. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. Let me read that again. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. In one translation, right where the Lord is the one you are to regard as holy, it says the Lord is the one you are to hallow. You are to hallow, to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. The fear of God is so, so utterly important to our living the way God wants us to live. Scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride, to hate arrogance, to hate perverted speech. The fear of the Lord will keep us from evil. The fear of the Lord will keep us from evil. So when we talk about hallowing the name of the Lord, hallowing the Lord, regarding him as holy, recognizing that our dealings are with a holy God, and that he sees us all the time, with us all the time. When we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, he's with us. When we're doing that other stuff, he sees us and he's there. He's a witness. He's a witness. And I'm reminded of, you know, when Jesus said to in Acts 1:8, how we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we would be witnesses. We would be witnesses. The Holy Spirit is in us and on us for us to be witnesses. Witnesses to the good news about Christ, witnesses to his power, witnesses to his goodness. Our lives are the testimony of how good God is. And so in this year, does it mean that we won't be active? Absolutely not. But I believe that God is calling on us to Selah. To take time to reflect and to think on who he is, who we are as a result of our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want, as a part of his bride, we want to be sure that we represent the groom properly. Okay? We want to be sure that we are representing the groom properly. We want to take time, you know, to set aside, what's the word I want to say? We want to set aside and guard the intimate time that we have with the Lord. If you keep a calendar, just like you put any other appointment on your calendar, put your appointment down with the Lord. Make it regular. And yes, there are times you may not have it on your schedule, and you will feel the Holy Spirit tugging you, saying, I want you to come away. I want you to come away and to spend time with me. I have something I want to show you. Stand still. Be on your watch. Notice, Habakkuk said, I will be on my watch. I believe all of us have a watch that we're to be on. We're to be diligent. ask the Lord to anoint our eyes that we can see clearly, anoint our ears, that we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Let me tell you, it's not something that's new, but I believe it's something that's more prevalent, and we need to be aware of it. There are times when our watching and our listening will save somebody's life, and the life may be our own, but it can save somebody else's life. Don't assume that when you get somebody's name or you get a tug that says, call so-and-so, don't just assume that you can wait and do it next week. Don't assume that. Sometimes your phone call could stop them from doing something that they could regret the rest of their life, or it may stop them from taking their life. One of the things that we've seen in the midst of this whole pandemic, COVID, whatever, one of the things that has been very, very obvious is that the suicide rate has climbed ridiculously, and depression is at epidemic proportions, even among the body of Christ. That is not our portion, people. Depression is not a part of our inheritance. It's not. And I don't presume to give any easy answers. And I do not look down upon those who suffer under the weight of that dread darkness. I realize I am extremely blessed that I don't struggle with that. We all go through periods of depression. But some of us, it's a part of life. We go through it and we come out, and it's a matter of, hours or maybe a day or, but there are some people, they wake up with depression and darkness as a daily companion. I don't know what that's like. But oh my goodness, we, as the body of Christ, we need to begin to pray against that. Come against that. That's not kingdom. There's nothing in the kingdom of God that is depressing. And so all of us, as we take the time to pause and to consider, what is God saying to us? What is it that he is expecting of me this year? What can I do to build a stronger relationship with my Lord and Savior? First, who is it that he has called me to be? Before we do anything, who is it that he's called me to be? Am I an instrument of righteousness in his hands? Am I satisfied with how well I know the Lord? What is the picture that I have of myself? We talk about envision. What is the picture that I have of my future? Whose life am I pouring into? Who am I imparting to? Who am I supporting? What am I doing to make somebody else's life better? I'm convinced that, you would hear people say little cliche things like, if we take care of God's business, he'll take care of God. But it's true. It's true. She's all right. It's true. When we give ourselves to the Lord for him to pour us out into the lives of others, to strengthen them, to help them and all of that, he's going to see to it that he's pouring into our lives. He'll take care of us. You know, there's an old, it may be some other kind of hymn, but because I was raised in a Baptist church, I always think all the hymns are Baptist hymns. But but you remember the God will take care of you through every day along the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. It's true. God will take care of us. God will take care of us. So let's stand still. Let's envision. Let's learn of him. Learn of him. Let's abandon ourselves to him. And let's hallow his name and regard him as holy. So, Father, we thank you so much for the things that you have spoken to us today. We ask, Lord, that not one word of yours would fall to the ground, not one word. That you would help us to Selah. Holy Spirit, that you would help us to pause and to reflect and to contemplate, as your word says, for those who contemplate your glory are transformed from glory to glory into the very image and likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to look more like Jesus today than we did yesterday. Help us not to resist your molding hand, recognizing that you are the potter. That you are the potter and we are the clay. Help us, Father, to cooperate with whatever you're doing in our lives, whatever shape you are making us. Help us to cooperate with you, not to resist your molding hand. We bless your name today. We bless your name today, Father. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have a few minutes, and as always, I want to open it up to anybody who wants to pray, or you know, or who may have a question or a comment. We just ask you to, you know, to be brief in case other people want to pray or have something to say. So it's kind of open now. You can unmute yourself if you want to share something. Right here.
Pat, what was that scripture? Exodus.